Hello and welcome to this special SearchSecurity.com Messaging Security School podcast. I'm Eric Parizeau. In this podcast, we'll focus on security issues affecting various mobile device platforms. Joining me today is Lisa Pfeiffer, Vice President of Core Competence, a network and security technology consulting firm. Thanks for being here with us, Lisa.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate the opportunity to talk about this topic.
Always a pleasure. Okay, Lisa, let's start with the Symbian OS. It's been the target of many mobile device-oriented Trojan horse programs. So first, why are Symbian devices popular targets, and what can users do to protect themselves?
Well, Symbian draws a lot of attention from the hacker community because Symbian devices themselves are so popular. Symbian leads the smartphone market. They sold over 9 million units last year, and that's about nearly half of the worldwide smartphone sales. Any dominant product automatically wears a really big target on its back just due to the number of devices and users that could be compromised through a single attack. But second, mobile operating systems like Symbian weren't really created with security in mind. Symbian started life as a cell phone operating system. User applications and data actually came later, and they could freely intermingle with operating system code. Also, a lot of users do have a hard time telling the difference between an innocuous piece of shareware and a malicious Trojan. Once a Trojan gets installed, it can easily access user data or overwrite those operating system files. The other issue facing Symbian is that the most popular Symbian devices incorporated a Bluetooth implementation that happened to be vulnerable to attack. Some early Symbian Trojans took advantage of those bugs to actually spread from one compromised smartphone to another. Fortunately, Symbian devices have come a long way. The firmware running on most new Symbian smartphones has been patched to eliminate those Bluetooth bugs. Symbian 9.2, which is the most recent version of the operating system, added several new features that eliminate the vulnerabilities that Trojans used to exploit. Symbian can now test and digitally sign legitimate programs. Those signed executables can be tagged with capabilities that the operating system can actually enforce. And code and data are now separated. That keeps processes into their own part of the filing system. So in short, to avoid being victimized by the Symbian Trojans, you just need to make sure that your device is running the latest firmware and operating system. Install only Symbian signed programs or programs that come from a trusted source. Apply security best practices to your Bluetooth interface. And always run smartphone antivirus programs so that you can detect new Trojans that might not yet have been patched.
Switching gears now to the BlackBerry, there have been a number of high-profile security incidents with these popular mobile messaging devices. A few years ago, Morgan Stanley, VP, made headlines when he sold a BlackBerry on eBay, which inadvertently disclosed company data. And then last year, the BBC had to turn off its BlackBerry system temporarily because of a glitch that mixed up the content in some users' messages. What can companies do to prevent these kinds of incidents from happening and leading to data loss or breach of some kind?
Well, here again, BlackBerry incidents have actually gotten a lot of headlines because BlackBerry devices are popular, especially among C-level executives that have data and communication that is just sort of inherently sensitive. In the BBC incident, senior execs actually got fragments of other people's messages. That was caused by a flaw in a single version of the BlackBerry operating system. Now that vendor, RIM, they claim that BBC is the only reported incident of that bug, and they've long since patched that bug. But in general, your best defense for that kind of incident is to keep your software current and patched. New vulnerabilities are found all the time in mobile devices and messaging servers, so it is critical to stay on top of bug reports and fixes. Now, in that Morgan Stanley case, a former employee sold his BlackBerry without scrubbing it of previously stored messages. Of course, many, many people resell not just PDAs and smartphones, but PCs and laptops without cleaning them off. And when it comes to a PDA or a smartphone, just deleting your contacts, messages, and files really isn't good enough. Resetting the device back to factory default does help, but binary information can still be left behind. For example, PointSec, they bought 100 disks off of eBay, and they actually managed to retrieve data from 70 of those disks, including one financial firm had customer database and passwords still on one of those disks. So to prevent falling victim to that kind of data breach, Always encrypt sensitive data that you store on a mobile device. Make sure that the keys you use for encryption are either stored on a separate device like a smart card, or that they're protected by strong authentication. And always use a secure data wipe program to completely scrub off a mobile device when it's no longer in trustworthy hands.
Let's talk about Microsoft's mobile platform for a minute. It's really gained in market share during the past couple of years. How do its security capabilities and liabilities stack up against those other platforms?
Well, that's a good question. Like the competition, Windows Mobile has improved over the years. For example, the latest version, Windows Mobile 5, it now has that strong advanced encryption support, smart card authentication, and it also supports IPsec for VPN. Windows Mobile applications can also be digitally signed to help users tell the difference between legit programs and malware. And application privilege levels can now stop that malware from tampering or destroying operating system files. But the flip side is that market growth for Windows Mobile means it's becoming a bigger target. Because Windows Mobile runs Internet Explorer, Outlook, and Common Office applications, those devices do frequently carry messages and files that are routinely exchanged with Win32 desktops. That means that a mobile can pass along files that are infected with a common Win32 virus. They can also be infected with malware written specifically for the WinCE platform. Unlike Windows XP, Windows Mobile doesn't actually include a personal firewall, nor does it include an encrypting file system. And that means that companies really have to think twice about connecting a Windows Mobile device to a company VPN unless they take some steps to fill in those crucial security gaps. Finally, earlier versions of Backup and Restore were included on Windows Mobile devices, accessed through Windows Active Sync. But Microsoft dropped that Backup Restore function from the latest version, Windows Mobile 5. That means that although you can synchronize specific data elements like contacts and mail with your desktop and your Exchange server, you actually now need a third-party program to back up your Windows Mobile 5 device. For example, something like Right Backup, or even a mobile device manager like IntelliSync.
Taking a step back in time for a minute, the very first documented mobile virus, called Liberty, ironically enough, was developed to attack the venerable Palm OS. Now, back then, everyone thought mobile viruses would be a major problem today, but it just hasn't really materialized yet in the way many thought. Is it only a matter of time until that happens? And as a follow-up, is the Palm OS any more susceptible to mobile viruses than other platforms?
Well, that Liberty virus, along with Phage and Vapor, they were the first mobile viruses to actually be seen in the wild. When they were launched back in September 2000, Palm OS was by far the most popular mobile operating system, so again, just a big target. Hackers attacked those Palm devices not because Palm was intrinsically weaker than other mobile operating systems, just because Palm was a big kid on the block and the most fun to pick on. It was actually a number of years before Kaber, the next mobile virus, showed up. That was about the middle of 2004. In the interim, there were a number of mobile antivirus products that were launched and then canceled due to poor sales. For the most part, I think those products were just ahead of their time. Mobile devices really hadn't become common enough and valuable enough to draw serious attention from malware writers. But in the past 2 years, that mobile virus has actually really turned around that trend. To date, there have been several hundred mobile malware programs that we've seen in the wild. Security vendors like CA and F-Secure have been clashing in public recently regarding the degree of risk that are actually associated with mobile viruses. But I think that few would actually argue there's no risk at all. Mobile malware is actually easier to develop than Win32 malware because mobile operating systems themselves aren't as robust. So I think today's debate is really about whether compromising a mobile device poses a significant business risk. Given extensive business dependence on mobile phones, I think that businesses are actually already very exposed to denial of service attacks. Just look at the concerns that were raised last year when a patent dispute threatened to disconnect BlackBerry users. Many analysts do believe that mobile malware is not really a question of if, but when. And I think it's just common sense to plan ahead and to know how to quickly defend your mobile from any malware outbreak that might occur in the future.
Much has been written about vulnerabilities in Bluetooth and Wi-Fi wireless networking protocols, but we haven't heard much about 3G security, that being security for the high-speed networks used by mobile phone providers. Have we reached the point where mobile users need to protect their cellular data connections from eavesdropping and attacks, just like they would other wireless connections?
Well, the ITU standards that cellular network operators implement, they actually incorporate a number of security features. Those features really were largely intended to prevent service theft and disruption of the carrier's own network. Voice services have long been protected against unauthorized use and eavesdropping by those features. The second and third generation data services, like GPRS, UMTS, and EVDO, that we see today, they all benefit from those same built-in security measures. When a mobile device registers with a carrier's network, your handset actually gets authenticated based on its physical identity. For example, that SIM card that's carried in many of your mobile devices. That means that someone can't impersonate your mobile without forging that hardware identity. Now, that's difficult, although it's not really impossible. All traffic that you send between a mobile device and a carrier's base station has been encrypted, and that prevents over-the-air eavesdropping. But if you want your data to continue to be protected when it leaves the carrier's network and crosses the internet, then you do still need something more, like an SSL web session, a VPN tunnel, or some proprietary over-the-air protection, like BlackBerry or Good. Carriers do also firewall the traffic that passes through their network, and that gives them the ability to block unauthorized or malicious traffic that might be sent by a hacked mobile device. But as an end user, you really have no control over that filtering, and it's not a substitute for firewalling your own mobile device from network-borne attacks. In short, I think the level of risk posed by 3G wireless is lower than the level of risk we see with unsecured Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. But just like turning link encryption on isn't all you need to do if you have a Wi-Fi or Bluetooth link, 3G link security isn't going to be enough all by itself to defend your mobile. That means you should always still take steps to protect your mobile data end-to-end, independent of the kind of wireless link you might use.
Lisa, last question. If you could implement just one security measure, what single step would you take to reduce the business risk posed by the user of PDAs or smartphones?
Well, Eric, I think the first and really most critical step that every company has to take to assess the business risks that are actually posed by mobile devices. Enabling security features and deploying point products without having a game plan, really just taking random shots in the dark. You might or might not be reducing your risk, but you'll certainly waste an awful lot of energy trying. Getting a really concrete handle on the mobile devices that actually touch your business data and your network is really an essential first step. Once you've evaluated your exposure, then you can go about defining a security policy that actually focuses on the top priority threats that face your business. Of course, a policy really isn't effective until you implement it. And I think that many companies will actually take years to implement all the phases of their mobile security policy. That policy probably will also change over time as a result of new mobile devices, applications, and users. But you do have to start somewhere, and I recommend starting with your biggest business risk. For many companies, that biggest risk is going to be data breach, and the single biggest countermeasure is to encrypt sensitive data carried on mobile devices. Today, mobile devices are far more likely to be lost or stolen than actually attacked over the network or over the air. Stored data encryption is an extremely effective way to reduce that risk, and for many companies, that single measure can produce some tangible benefits related to either regulatory compliance or passing a security audit. I'm not saying to stop there. I still do think that you need to build on that good start by deploying a more comprehensive security framework that actually takes more steps to safeguard all the mobile devices that impact your business.
Lisa Pfeiffer, Vice President of Core Competence, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate your time and your expertise. For more materials in our Messaging Security School, Visit searchsecurity.com/messaging. You can also listen to more of our podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric Parazon. Stay safe out there.